Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. High atop the radio world in our Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland. We welcome all of our affiliates here on the Barbecue Nation radio network. Camaro Dave's out driving around playing with his kazoo, and Commander Chris is doing the barbecue dance. At least this week he has his pants on. Our special guest today, Tyler Walsh from Lua in Seattle, because this show is also carried in Seattle. We're going to be talking about what's new on the high-end world of barbecue for your deck and patio. Our music this week is from the girls from Seattle, Ann and Nancy Wilson, some of my favorites up there. And also, before we really get started here, we want to thank our friends at Painted Hills Natural Beef, because Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef, from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Beef you can feel good about. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Find them at a grocery store near you. Tyler, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's going on?
A little bit of everything and nothing all at the same time, right? Lots of travel, the good weather. It's barbecue season is upon us.
Yes. Well, if folks don't know, explain to them what Lua is and what it stands for.
Yeah, so Lua is a luxury appliance distributor out of Seattle. Mm-hmm. We cover the entire Northwest United States, all of Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii. So just a very small parcel of land that we cover. And we focus on indoor and outdoor luxury cooking, the culinary experience. We've been around for about 30 years in the Northwest and selling the brands that we have now for multiple decades.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. I know you've got some really cool stuff. When people come to you and they're looking, do they normally want to build an entire outdoor kitchen or just a singular piece like a standalone barbecue or, you know, a refrigerator or what have you?
You know, it depends. We're in a world now that a barbecue on a deck is transitioning into more built-in patio style. You and I talked mm-hmm. about earlier, it's grilling is a lifestyle. And that's continuing to grow. So the percentage of freestanding appliances versus built-in appliances has really changed over the last 5 or 6 years. So traditionally speaking, we're seeing more and more built-in applications and full outdoor kitchens, but we still definitely do a good amount of freestanding equipment as well.
So what does that entail? Somebody comes in and they say, you know, I've got some money, I'm remodeling, I'm doing whatever. And they look and they say, well, you know, I've got a 24 by 36 foot deck and maybe some pavers as a landing area like that. What's the process you go through to get that done?
Sure. When they give us a space, we want to figure out how much they're going to dedicate to the outdoor living, right? The cooking selection, because in that deck, you're also going to have things like heaters, patio furniture, coolers, everything that takes up space. So once we figure out the overall space, we then ask, okay, well, how much do you want to dedicate just to the cooking section of that outdoor space? And from there, really dive into what their cooking style is, what they like to do, facilitate the products that are going to go into that kind of as we go down that process.
Right. And is it tough for people to, you know, kind of envision things? I mean, what they envision and what can become reality sometimes are two different things.
Sure. Yeah. And it's interesting because sometimes it's the vision is far greater than what's capable in reality.
Right.
And sometimes it's the other way around. We have a lot of people who are curious as to what other products in the outdoor section are available, including refrigerators, beer tappers, things like that, that maybe had not thought about that in their original plans and end up moving that way otherwise. On the other side of that, you definitely have the people who are the big dreamers, see the price tag kind of adding up and get a little ahead of themselves and end up kind of being back to something a little bit more realistic. But it's everywhere and anywhere in between. You know, the times are good right now and the weather's good. So we're seeing a little bit of everything.
I know that I have seen people that have spent more on their outdoor kitchen than I spent on my first home.
That's not uncommon. It's amazing. I love those people because they keep us going and they keep it exciting. Seeing those projects is always mind-blowing because just the equipment itself, like you mentioned, not taking into account landscaping plants and things like that, can get up into the six-figure range really quickly. And it's very impressive. It's very fun to be a part of sometimes, to see these creations come to life and to see the finished product of all of that ingenuity and ideas.
You know, on days like today, when we are recording this show, it's beautiful weather, but we don't have that all the time.
Sure.
Here in the Northwest. I mean, we've got a lot of drizzle. You're from the Seattle area. You're very familiar with drizzle and snow and ice and stuff like that. What kind of considerations do people need to take when they are building an outdoor kitchen, RE the weather?
Mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing about being in the Northwest is while we do have a lot of drizzle, we do have a lot of inclement weather. It's not that extreme, meaning, you know, in the wintertime, if we get a stretch in the 30s, that's going to be about as bad as it gets. Most of the time, we're going to sit around that 40 to 50 degrees. And taking into consideration cover over your patio, mm-hmm. and heat. There's so many products out there today that can provide an outdoor living experience that is just as comfortable as cooking indoors, without having to deal with the smoke and the odors and things like that you would on the indoor. And so a lot of people are doing the majority of their cooking outside. You mentioned kitchens being as much as your first home. It's not uncommon nowadays to see consumers and clients build outdoor kitchens much larger than their indoors, taking into account things like overhang, heaters, covers, patios, things like that, rollaway doors and rollaway windows to make sure that they're closing off to the elements so that we can do it year round.
Wow. Can't just put up a tent.
I wouldn't. Although being from Seattle and Portland, it seems to be the trend of outdoor living these days, but I think that's a different kind.
Yeah, it's a different, those guys aren't buying a Heston, you know,
that's right.
That they're not going to do that. I don't think, I did give a guy a Slim Jim on the way into work today. Cause he said he was going to trade me $1,000 bicycle for, which he owned. He told me he didn't steal it.
Oh yeah.
He just wanted some food. Sure. I didn't want his bicycle, but I gave him what I had in the car. So I felt bad for him.
Good man.
Yeah. Well, good luck to that guy. I don't know who he is or whatever he is. When people are looking at doing outdoor kitchens, let's stick with this in mm-hmm. this segment. It's, you know, it's like anybody, a kid in a candy store, to use the euphemism. They get in there and here's a lovely grill. That grill is $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, sure. whatever it is like that. It's got all the cool features on it. It's this, it's that. But maybe their skill level isn't up to that. You know, maybe they're charcoal Weber guys, which sure. takes a lot of skill in itself, but it's a different type of skill. So how do people can kind of, when they're looking at these things, how do you recommend that they kind of mentally adjust for their own needs, their own skill level, what they can do? I mean, they can always improve. Mm-hmm. They can always get better. But it's also, you know, it's like if you've driven a Volkswagen your whole life and somebody pops you into a Ferrari, mm-hmm. not quite the same.
No, it is different. It's still a car, but it gets you from A to B a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's a good question. And I think one of the ways that I look at that personally is that if you learn and you adapt to your cooking style and you grow with your grill, grow with the products that you're cooking on, in my mind, I would want to have something that I can grow up and grow with to the point where I can't exceed expectations and its performance. I then have to go get something else because I've graduated, let's call it.
Right.
A lot of consumers are used to only cooking on specific pieces, whether it be a smoker we talked about earlier, charcoal, gas. The cooking style is always a little bit different. But one thing I think when you're looking at outdoor equipment and outdoor grills of any kind, not just my product, is that allow yourself to grow with your product, not the other way around, right? I always like to say, buy a grill that's larger because it's really easy to make a big grill small mm-hmm. or a powerful grill less powerful. It's really hard to make a small grill big or a less powerful grill more powerful when you need it.
That is true. And I can tell you that from experience, just when you really need to crank it up on something or kind of simmer it down, no pun intended, but when you mm-hmm. really need to bring it down and hold it, it's tough sometimes on the less expensive grills because they don't have the capacity to stabilize the heat and hold sure. it like that. And so you got to be aware of those things.
Right.
What's your favorite thing to grill?
I'm easy. I'm steak and veggies guy. I'm let's do some asparagus with olive oil, salt and pepper, throw it on the grates, get those cooked nice and brown. And then, a good steak. I also like to do chicken, which sometimes is tough on a grill, especially if you do it in a marinade and things like that. I like, you know, your meat and potatoes guy, but I also really like to experiment. So things like scallops, you know, cedar plank salmon, shrimp, things like that. We, at our studio in Seattle, we do cooking demonstrations. One of my favorite things that we're doing recently is flank steak tacos, street tacos.
Yeah.
And so we'll cook everything. We'll saute veggies. We'll do the steaks. We'll do everything right on the grill. And for me, that's how I'm comfortable cooking. That's what I like to cook. But we've seen people do some pretty incredible things on barbecues and grills that you'd never think of. Pretty much anything that can be done indoor, you can do outdoor, and in a lot of cases, in a much more efficient way.
There you go. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Tyler Walsh from Lua in Seattle right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're talking with Tyler Walsh today from Lua in Seattle. We're going to get back to Tyler in just a second. If you would like to email us, it's BBQ, just those letters, BBQ at SalemPDX.com. That's SalemPDX.com. You can also find us on Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. And we've got a Twitter account, and we've got an Instagram account. We've got all that stuff accounts, which I honestly don't pay that much attention to. Somebody else does. So there you go. We are back talking with Tyler Walsh from Lua. How does Lua compare, and what the products you compare to the big box stores? So let me give you an example. People go out, they're looking for a barbecue, and they've got a budget, but it's a hefty budget, a good solid one. And they go there and they can find a grill, maybe up to $800 mm-hmm. at a big box store like that. But that's not really what they want. They want something a little better. So there's standalone barbecue stores, and there's Ace Hardwares and some of those, and they're doing a good job. So, but it's still not what they want. So, but maybe they don't want to spend $8,000 either, or $6,000. How, what's the comparison there? And, do you have products in your lines that they can find out there, but are at the, you know, entry level products?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So, kind of as an overview of the big box stores or the mass quantity mm-hmm. stores, they really do well in the low to kind of mid range, whether it be indoor or outdoor appliances, grills, you know, refrigerators, ovens, whatever the case is.
Right.
Independent retailers in each market tend to pick up where they leave off. Now they will still do the low end, kind of mass commodity
sure.
type of product.
Sure.
But the independents tend to see that and go above. So with our products, we carry the Heston line, barbecue line out of Anaheim, California. We start around $2,800 for a grill. If you want to do freestanding, about $3,500. And it goes up from there to, you mentioned, you know, a $12,000 for a freestanding grill, and then we can do full kitchens. It kind of depends on the budget and the outline. You know, the Home Depots and such are great for, I call them kind of weekend warriors, where you're going to go pick right. something up, you're going to use it for the season, and then toss it out and do it again next year. But for the consumer who wants to do something more built-in, more permanent, independent retailers in each market tend to kind of have an expertise in that level and beyond to facilitate what those needs are.
Well, not all grills are the same.
Sure.
Even if they're in the same line, they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So what you may get at Home Depot or Lowe's, nothing wrong with them.
No.
But if you go to a certified Weber dealer somewhere else, those grills stand a chance of being a little different. A few more bells and whistles on them.
Sure. Traditionally speaking, whether, again, going back to indoor or outdoor, the box stores and the larger stores have more exclusive models that are kind of catered to the mass quantity. You can, to your point, you can go into an independent versus a big box store, see two brands that are the same, and there's going to be differences. And each one kind of has their own lane, their own category, where they kind of right. go in separate directions.
Huh. That's interesting. You guys deal with the fuel too, meaning that on those higher end barbecues, a lot of times you can see propane, but you can also see natural gas. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times at the big box stores, you don't get that choice. They're pretty much all propane.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All of our products and most in that category are convertible, or you can order either way. So any of the Heston product, if you order it one way, it can be converted. We always say, you know, buy what you need, but we do liquid propane or natural gas. And we actually have new accessories that allow you to integrate wood smoking and things like that. So.
Oh, very cool. We're going to get to that the next segment. What's the process? I've actually had somebody ask me this the other day, and I just said it's not that hard to change out a propane from a natural gas to a propane or vice versa, but I'm anymore not sure of that process.
It definitely depends. It can be very straightforward for some brands. It can be a little bit more intricate. Overall, without going too deep down this rabbit hole,
sure.
you change out the valves, the orifices, and the fuel source. And that provides the proper pressure for what you want to cook with. If you cook one gas with the wrong type, you're going to have, in one case, hardly any flame at all. And in another hand, you're going to have way too much flame, and it becomes almost a hazard at that point. So it can be simple, depending on how easily accessible it is. You know, at the end of the day, they are just valves and burners, and it's all kind of based around the same concept, but some, from an accessibility standpoint, make that much, much easier, much more difficult.
Kind of like my convection oven that blew up the other night in our kitchen, but that's a different
story.
That's
what you get for cooking inside, JT.
Man. I was just warming. It's going to warm it up. Do that. And all of a sudden I got this really hot smell, smoky smell. And I walked over there and I had left a little baking pan in there.
Sure.
You know, from some bread or something we had the night before. And I thought, well, it's, you know, my fault. When I grabbed that thing, I had mitts on and stuff, but it was really hot. I could feel it through the mitts. And I looked up and it was blinking an error message, F2. If anybody's got an oven out there and it starts blinking F2, pay attention. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you, because we couldn't get the broilers to shut off.
Oh, wow.
It had something went gunny sack in the relay.
Sure.
Because it was both regular and a convection oven, mm-hmm. you know. And so I shut it off because it wouldn't shut off by the buttons. I had to go turn off the breaker.
Wow.
I let it cool off. And they said, well, sometimes they'll do that. And then they, you know, you turn the breaker back on. Not went right back to broil. And I mean, it was over 600 degrees, which is not good for indoors.
No.
So anyway, long story short, that's my convection oven story. Is that Goranson out there looking at you?
No, that was me just giggling at the thought of you scrambling.
Yeah. Well, I was scrambling because I certainly did not want to go.
You didn't want a first remodel, huh?
No, no. Not, I could just see the guys with the fire hoses. Our house has got a lot of wood in it, you know. So, anyway.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Don't need that. Kind of forgot where I was in our line of questioning here, but that has stuck in my brain.
Sure.
Because now we got to go get a new oven. Mm. So maybe you and I will talk about new ovens off the air if you have
nowhere to send you.
Nowhere to send me. Okay, good. These new accessories, I'm going to lead into this because we've only got about 30 seconds left in this segment, but they have changed a lot. You can add things to grills, especially gas grills now, that you can have cold smoke, regular smoke, pellet smoke, like that. What's your newest toy there?
Yeah, so ours is being able to integrate a new tray that goes over one of our burners that allows you to use more of like a true smoking style rather than just one of the little pellets that
right.
you throw in there and let them burn. That's one. And then another one is griddle plates and things like that. So
it's good.
It is good. A lot of flexibility.
And you can bake, too.
Oh, yeah.
You can bake. Tyler and I are going to take a break. We're going to go play some golf, and we're going to be back with the next segment in just a couple minutes right here on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033 at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes a beef product you can be proud of and feel good about, serving it to your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also, my friend Mark down there at Barclays in Woodburn, he's got collectible silver dollars, an excellent collection of men and women's 14 karat gold, better gold rings. If you haven't spent your tax return yet, go check out Barclays in Woodburn. Also, we have SoundCloud, Barbecue Nation on SoundCloud with JT. We've got all our shows on there. We've got close to 300 episodes of Barbecue Nation now, and I don't know if we did it this morning, but we'll be breaking the 85,000 download mark here.
Wow.
Shortly.
That's awesome.
Today or tomorrow. Anyway, so there you go. How important is it for people, do they tell you, Tyler, when they come in, you know, cooking is really, truly a show of affection to people mm-hmm. too, you know? And so when they're cooking for their family and friends, and it doesn't matter what they cook, but they want to do it nice, they want to present it well and all that. Do they talk about that, your potential customers, when they come in?
You know, they do. We talked about it a little bit earlier and how grilling and outdoor cooking is becoming more of an experience. And I think it's shown no more obvious than the amount of time people are spending outside entertaining, right?
Right.
It's one thing to throw a steak on the grill and cook it by yourself and go back inside. It's a whole nother thing to build an outdoor patio where the living quarters are outside.
Right.
Right. If you go outside and you grill and then everybody else is inside, you're missing a lot of what's going on. And so a lot of the thought that is taken into building an outdoor space is a direct result of entertainment and family and friends and that experience of camaraderie, because we jokingly call it the fun zone is the outside. And
yeah.
if all of your equipment is outside and everybody is on the inside because it's too hot or you don't have, you know, things to accommodate the elements, you're missing what's going on in the inside, and you're missing the whole point of cooking and being part of the grand experience. You know, in my family, the kitchen, indoor or outdoor, is where everybody congregates, and that's where everybody stands and hangs out. And I think a lot of times, especially when we start talking about heaters and fire bowls and patio furniture and things like that, it's exactly for that reason, is entertainment and family time.
I know, as a cook, I love to have people in the kitchen, but I also hate it because it interrupts me.
Sure.
When I get really intense when I'm cooking. I mean, that's just my deal, you know, and even Thanksgiving, Christmas like that, I'll be just flying around there, and I have my daughter, my wife, and a couple of our friends will help like that, you know, and you're right. It's a natural gathering place. Plus, usually when you've got a big social setting like that, there's stuff to eat in there,
sure.
you know, or get your drinks or whatever. But it's like, okay, this has got to be the line. You know, there's got to be an invisible line where you don't jack with the cook.
Yeah.
That's the line.
I'm going to get you some of those red ropes to do for clubs and hire a bouncer for you next time
there
do
you
a big party.
There you go.
Yeah.
I should tell you about the time I was in a casino. This was in Reno, and I was doing okay. This was 20 years ago. And I got hungry, and I told the concierge lady that I was hungry, and so she brought me a menu, and I ordered some stuff off the menu, and they brought those theater ropes and they set them around me, and they set up a table while I was playing so I could eat and play at the same time.
Look at you living the life.
Not anymore.
I was gonna ask what happened.
Yeah, I lost.
Oh, that's why
that, you know, that happens. That's why they call them one-armed bandits.
That's
and stuff
right.
like that. When people come in and they look at stuff and maybe they don't want the high end gas grill, mm-hmm. But they want the best in a heater, a sink, a refrigerator like that. How do you balance? How do you walk them through that and say, well, you know, I know as a good salesman, you'd want them to do both, but how do you make sure that they match consistently throughout the whole outdoor kitchen?
As far as what their desires and what
right.
their needs are. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's to your point. That's what makes a good salesperson. When I talk to my accounts, I tell them, you know, consumers are coming in here because you're their trusted advisor. They're not here to get sold. They're not here to get swindled. They just want to have a good experience where you're taking care of them. And sometimes that means selling them products that in one way fit their needs and one way fit their budget and to navigate that. If we know that we have a client that's doing a lot of smoking and not a lot on the gas grill, that may be an opportunity to skimp a little bit on the gas grill and increase, you know, the budget for the smoker or the pellets or the refrigerator, the beer tap or the sink. And so a lot of it is moving around for specific needs, because ultimately, if you build an outdoor kitchen that's not to a client's needs and desires, they're not going to be happy with it no matter how pretty it is.
What's your average? I mean, what are the basic things, first of all, you put in an outdoor kitchen? And then compare that to what are the carte blanche, anything you want, the big as you want.
Sure. Okay. So what I consider like a small, we kind of break it down to small, medium, and large outdoor kitchens. A small outdoor kitchen would be, taking apart, not factoring in freestanding grills, would be a grill head, some sort of access center, and then a refrigerator. And a lot of people say, well, why a refrigerator? My kitchen's right there. It goes back to the fun zone conversation. If you're running in and out and you're doing all of your prep work inside and you're cooking outside, you're losing a lot of that time. Now, the medium steps up, maybe we'll add a sink, we'll add a side burner, we'll add something like that. And as far as carte blanche goes, we have seen some pretty impressive projects. We're working on one now in Seattle that has a 42-inch grill, access center, two refrigerators, a wine center, beer tapper, two sinks, drop-in cooler, power burner, side burners. It's about a 20-foot run and a 10-foot L shape of cooking equipment. And it's much bigger than their indoor kitchen, but that's what they wanted.
Wow.
We need to make friends with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they need somebody to come cook for them a couple times?
I think we should do a demo out there.
We could do a demo.
Yeah, there you go.
We could do the demo out there. I'll even, you know, bring a hot dog or something.
Whatever. Hey, we got to step it up for them. Maybe a bratwurst.
Yeah. Johnsonville brat. What's the number one question that people ask you when they come in, the consumer, not your clients, but when they come in and they start looking around and say they're looking at the grills? What's the number one question they ask you? Sans the price.
How do I build an island? Yeah. How do I put it into an island? What do I make it out of? A lot of people have a vision. They have an idea. And a lot of contractors have visions and ideas. But one of the challenges outdoor, we face so many more variables that we do inside. Humidity, temperature swings, moisture, all of those, you know, exposed flames in a barbecue that we don't with a stove. And so the number one kind of categorical question we get asked is, how do I make it this drawing into real life? And a lot of things are not even considered. You know, if you have a grill that's undercover, you want to look at ventilation. You want to put a range hood in there to evacuate that smoke, because it's another real fast way to get all of your family and friends out of the patio, is if you're smoking it up and it's irritating, it's smoky, it's harder to breathe, things like that. And so there's a lot of factors that go into an outdoor kitchen, but the number one is how do I make this drawing real?
I know that smoke thing to get people out of your hair.
Oh yeah, is that a trick you?
It's a little tricky. Pretty soon they're back and then they're sliding the glass door, going back in the house. You're back in peace. Me and my Pepsi, you know, whatever I'm cooking, you know, That's radio. I'm having a good time.
There you go.
No, I'm really not that. You know, unsociable, but that's one thing I will tell people. You know, you used to see it in the cowboy movies where you don't jack with the cook or the cookie, as they call them, like that. Don't do that. Even if you're having a big barbecue, you know, people like to be social and they like to talk, but don't interrupt them.
Yeah. What do they say? Don't mess with people that mess with your food.
Yeah.
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 I think that goes for home use as well, not restaurants.
It sure does. It sure does. That bad visual just popped into my head there. One of the things I think that's also when they're building the kitchens is their outside may not have the power and water to it.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot more to it than just setting up some nice cabinets and some, you know, some built-ins and installs like that. But where's the water going to go? Are you going to drain it on the ground? Probably in a lot of areas you can't do that.
Sure. One of the things that is nice about projects happening now is that there are a lot of home builders who are building newer homes that have outdoor hookups, whether it be gas, plumbing, things like that, to prepare for that flexibility. Because in the National Kitchen and Bath Association, which is kind of the governing body between indoor and outdoor, you know, appliances, cabinets, everything, a couple years ago, they did a study, and outdoor living is the largest and fastest growing segment in homes today. And so a lot more builders, designers, architects are getting on that train and realizing, hey, even if we're not putting in a kitchen for this person, maybe we should put in, you know, hookups for it, for an opportunity. Kind of if you were building a new house and you put in RV hookups, you may not have an RV today, but you're planning down the road. Yeah. Same kind of idea.
Yeah, and it helps for resale too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's all good that way, but you just got to kind of plan ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. I think if our listeners out there are thinking they can go build an outdoor kitchen this weekend, more than likely not going to happen. But the planning process, you know, we say that grill sales happen in January and February, and they get delivered in March, April, May.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of where we're at.
Where we're at is time to take another break. We're be back with Tyler Walsh from Lua. We're going to be talking about outdoor kitchens and a couple of specific things about barbecues and grills right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. That would be me. I was trying to think, I got to do another show right after this with a different title. And, you know, when you get old, it's like the brain synapses doesn't work. Talking with Tyler Walsh today from Lua in Seattle. We'll also next week have some information on the new KCBS Hall of Fame inductees. That happened last night, actually. But I couldn't get the press release out in time to do this, so I can't tell you. But I think maybe Meathead, my buddy Meathead from Amazing Ribs, is in there. Don't know for sure. Anyway, Tyler, in the Heston products, there's some options, and I wanted to get those in the before the end of the show.
Yeah.
You've got color options. You've got, I think you've got number of burner options. You've got a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, the line is very cool because we have two series. We have the Aspire line, which is kind of our entry level, and then the Heston line, which is what we made our name on. And the Heston line is unlike anything else in the market. If you look at it side by side, feature for feature, nothing comes close at a very comparable price point, which is phenomenal. I think you and I have talked in the past, grills for the longest time have not advanced. The industry has, there's been a lot of companies that have come out with cool product and kind of rested on those laurels and haven't engineered and created new ingenuity and ideas in a long time.
Right.
And Heston, being a ground up company, is great because they have no model, right? They can do whatever they want. So there are countless patents on that grill that make it so much more different than anything else. And then the Aspire line is kind of much more similar to other product out there at a much less, much more affordable price point. One of the things in the Heston line are the laser cut grates that are flippable upside down. Trellis burners using a high titanium content stainless steel with glow plug igniters. A hood that holds position in any way. So if you want to slow cook or bake, like you mentioned earlier, you can do that. And then lights that are actually in the grill lid rather than the grill itself. So if you're cooking something, you have stadium lighting, as we call it, that projects onto the entire grill surface no matter what you're doing.
I said it was an F-16.
That's right.
You know, when you went out there, the first time you saw one of those in the dark and the little lights are on the knobs, you know, and you lift it up, it's like, it was like my first time I ever got a really good car was a BMW.
Sure.
And I got in there and I turned it on at night because I got it at night and it was like, whoa,
yeah,
this is cool.
And it almost sounds like an F-16 too. Those burners put out quite a bit of power. You get those cranking and it's, yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah. I like that.
So do you have two or three of these at your house?
I have one that I use, yes, at my house. Two or three would be a little overkill, even for me. But we have multiple dealers in the area, in Seattle and in Portland, that showcase the products if anybody wants to see it live. And then up in Seattle, Bellevue, actually, our showroom, we have the product live. We do cooking demonstrations, things like that. So there's definitely a lot of places that these can be seen.
Very cool. And if I said, what was your favorite part of it, besides eating? But what's your favorite thing about the Hestons?
For me, it's the ingenuity. It's the difference, right? Is that we as a distributor have kind of prided ourselves since the beginning on doing things a little bit different, a little bit more unique than others. And Heston is the same way. Heston came, even though it's a newer company, its roots go very, very deep. They own a vineyard in Napa. They have a partnership with Chef Thomas Keller at the French Laundry on our commercial side. We manufacture about 40% of the cookware in the world through the Meyer Corporation. So the roots of the Heston line go very deep. And ironically, Stanley Chang, the owner, went to Oregon State University.
He's
a local guy. So there's local ties as well. And one of the things that I like is that being a newer brand, it's going to succeed because it's Stanley's name on the product. Heston is actually a combination of his wife's Helen and his name Stanley. So Heston, he said, my wife comes before me in everything I do. I told him it's because Stanhe doesn't sound as good. And he said that might have also played a factor in
Well, he's an Oregon State guy, so he's a very logical thinker.
He is. You know? He is. He's a Beaver through and through, and I think that's why there may be a couple Northwest colors in our palette that may look familiar to some of our folks
out
there.
Yeah. One of the hardest things I ever did was had to cook at the Quack Shack for 4 years for the Ducks games and keep my secret identity as a Beaver graduate, you know?
How bad did that hurt?
You have no idea. At times, it was tough.
I bet.
Actually, they were very nice people and everybody. It was all in great fun and all that, and they enjoyed the food. But once in a while, you would get... I actually had a guy one time in the Port-a-John next door yelling through the door, telling me how much the Beaver guys were rude to the Duck people. And I was like, excuse me? Anyway.
I'm a Wazoo guy,
yeah.
So I get that with the UW folks. So one thing I wanted to bring up, because you mentioned Meathead from Amazing Ribs, Heston actually just won the Platinum Metal Best Value Award from AmazingRibs.com,
yeah.
Which is a pretty cool little tie-in. You mentioned him, and so that's something that Heston's very proud of, excited to be
Yeah, we had Max Good on the show a couple, 3 weeks ago talking about that, and then we talked about the Heston Grills
yeah,
in.
So. Very cool.
Tyler, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
It's not a problem. We're going to get out of here. Guess what? Grilling at the Green is coming up next, so you won't want to miss that. Until next week, everybody, I'm JT for Barbecue Nation. Remember our little slogan, turn it, don't burn it. We'll see you next week.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.